coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. And I am just beside myself today. Just a little upset, a little angry. By the way, I tweeted earlier today, probably from here on out, at least until I change it again, the new time on Tuesdays and Thursdays for Pastor Mike Online live broadcast will be from 1 to 3. And that goes back to the COVID days after a lot of us had COVID and started slowly but surely coming back, was still weak. And so we changed the office hours from 9 to 4. And so that coming in at 9 just kind of puts me in a little bit of a pinch between, you know, I have meetings with people first thing in the morning, you know, line everybody out what they're going to do and so on, and then start studying. And so I figured, you know, I've been delaying Pastor Mike Online here the last several weeks, and so maybe we'll just make it, you know, from a 1 o'clock to a 3. That's actually when we started out. When we started doing the Pastor Mike Online live broadcast, what year was that? 2010, 2012, somewhere around in there. Probably more toward 2012 than anything. It was a 1 hour program, and it was going from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. Then I changed it to an hour and a half, going from 12:30 to 2 o'clock. And then I went to 2 full hours, going from 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock. So we're going to try to still do as much of a two-hour program as I can, but just kind of move it later on in the day a little bit. So that's from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock until I change my mind again. That'll be the time of the program. Now, starting off with some bad news. I come in here this morning, start going through emails, and at the top of the list was YouTube. Not happy with me again. And there, since I'm on strike from YouTube, I'm going to go ahead and say this. Their artificial intelligence is an idiot. Purebred idiot. Because they flagged the video I did at the Harrison Church, Oak Lane Church in Harrison, Arkansas, which sort of went along the lines of the teaching I did at Pea Ridge, Arkansas. In Pea Ridge, Arkansas, I set about to show that you can't believe everything you see on the internet. And I actually put up websites, graphics of websites, that basically displayed fake news. Now, you thought only fake news could be, you know, from NBC or MSNBC or CNN or whatever. But fake news can come from so-called Christian right-wing websites just as much as it can from left-wing websites. And you say, well, you know, Pastor Mike, I agree with that. But my website that I go to, they're never wrong. Okay, whatever. So anyway, when I went to Pea Ridge, Arkansas, I was going to try to show people that there's two ways of believing things that are going on. You can either believe the truth or you believe a lie and accept the consequences. We know that in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11, for the Lord shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And so there is thousands and thousands of strong delusions being put out there that people are falling for every day. One of the reasons why I want to be on the internet with the various broadcasts that we do is that if there's 1,000 guys over on one side of the street and they're all spewing out their satanic doctrines, their lies, their heresies, their fake news, and so on, I'd like to be the guy on the other side of the street telling people the truth. And so that's why I'm still on. And when it comes to YouTube, over the years, I started following their rules. Now, let me tell you about what censorship is. Censorship is, let's say you have a book or a pamphlet of some kind, and not only does the person you try to hand it to reject it, but some government oversight committee actually prohibits you from even publishing it to begin with. Now that's censorship. It's not that they don't want some people to read it. They don't want anybody to read it. That's censorship. I remember several years ago, and the reason why I'm saying this is that YouTube took another video down of mine. I remember several years ago, the Dove Awards. Dove Awards is an award given to Christian artists for their music. It's sort of like the Grammy Awards, music awards of various kind, the Oscar that you can win, and so on. So the Dove Awards, you know, they give out in different categories, you know, best contemporary group, the best contemporary soloist, the best Southern gospel soloist, the best black gospel soloist, and so on. They have different categories. Well, back in the late 90s, early 00s, the Dove Awards started listening to Christian music, especially contemporary Christian music. And while some of the songs maybe they had a good sound, maybe they liked the harmonics of it, maybe they liked the tune of it, maybe they liked the words of it. But when they sat down and actually thought about it, the song wasn't necessarily a Christian song. It made no mention of God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, didn't quote verses out of the Bible, never mentioned some religious practice. Sort of the God is my boyfriend type mentality. So the Dove Award Committee said, you know what, we kind of need to put down some guidelines. The guidelines are, if you want to win a Dove Award with your song, the song has to have some form of recognizable Christian content. In other words, there has to be a reference in there somewhere to God or God's Word or God's Holy Spirit or salvation or something like that. There has to be an overt reference to it. Well, as you can imagine, the artist just went up in arms and cried, censorship! That's censorship! No, it's not. They weren't telling them that they couldn't produce the album, they couldn't write the songs. They weren't telling them they couldn't sell the CDs. They weren't telling them that no Christian radio should pick up their songs. All they were doing was saying, if you want to win our award, your song must have some sort of overt Christian theme to it. And most of the artists just went absolutely crazy over it. They said, that's censorship. It's not censorship. Anyway, what happened was, I went to Pea Ridge, Arkansas a few months ago, did a conference for them, their camp meeting, and I preached a message about believing the truth and discarding the lies. And I said that some of the things on the internet that you read every day are lies. They're made up. And I had some people jump at me because I mentioned some names of some people that they like. I can't help it. They're liars. And they're liars for one main reason. What is the root of all evil? The love of money. That's why they will lie to you. Now you may say, well, I only go to Christian websites. Are they genuinely Christian? Do they talk about the gospel? What Bible do they use? Who is the person that's put the website up? What are his credentials, in other words, as a Christian? Where are the fruits manifested in his life? Because if he's putting stuff up on his internet webpage or his YouTube channel, that's a lie. Something's not right there. I'm not being his judge. I'm just saying, by their fruits ye shall know them. So anyway, I mention things that the internet lied about down in Pea Ridge, Arkansas, and I gave examples. I came home, edited the video, uploaded it to Sermon Audio, uploaded it to YouTube. YouTube immediately flags the video and takes it down. Why? Because at the early part of the video, what I did was I showed some of the things that I had seen in the past year relating to various news items like COVID and the Lebanon, Beirut, Lebanon explosion that took place. And, you know, some guy who is an expert commentator who was former CIA and is an expert. And I'm going, if you're an expert for the CIA, if you're a former expert of the CIA, I can see now why you're a former expert. Because the guy tried to convince everybody that it was a nuclear bomb that went off in that harbor at Lebanon. And it wasn't. He even said, we have infrared photos showing you, proving you that it, and it wasn't infrared. It was a camera negative. And those two are not the same. So anyway, I put that up there and I said, that's all a lie. Then I made some marks about COVID that I knew weren't true. And so YouTube pulled that video down. I appealed it, and they left it. They didn't put it back up again. So now I go to Harrison. Harrison, Arkansas, And I do something similar there, but I take down those graphics, those examples. And all I have written on the screen is things the internet lied about, like Y2K. That when the year 2000 rolls around, all the computers are going to crash because it wasn't built into them to account for anything beyond the year 2000. Well, that never happened. Then in Obamacare was, there was supposed to be a clause in there that said that everybody in America had to be microchipped by March 2011, and that microchip had to be stored in a database. So I went and read the relevant portion of the Obamacare bill to see if that was true or not. And it wasn't. It wasn't true. All that the bill was doing was establishing a database of any type of implantable device, like a pacemaker or an insulin pump, or, you know, some people get these TENS units or a neural stimulator in their back to help block back pain. And that's all it was to build a database of these devices to see where they were and how they were working. Now, is that kind of fishy? Yeah, it could be. I don't know what they're going to do with that information. But you had some guys on the internet who looked at that and then twisted it and said, do you see this? What they're doing is they're hiding it in plain sight. They're going to start microchipping everybody and so that they can track you by a way of a database by March 2011. And it didn't happen. Then I went into some things about the COVID virus. Well, I noticed from YouTube today that they pulled the video again. And this time, put a strike against my channel. Now I'm really furious. What that means is, I can't upload anything to YouTube for a week. I'm in YouTube prison. And I've never, ever, 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 ever been in YouTube prison. I play by their rules. Now, I'm going to try to convince you why I do. And if you don't believe me, that's your problem. You can think of me whatever you want to think of me. And I guarantee you, tomorrow morning, it will have no effect on my life whatsoever. YouTube has rules. Facebook has guidelines. Most social media platforms will have some amount of guidelines. It's their playpen. It's their backyard. They can make up all the rules they want. It's theirs. Now, the reason why I'm on YouTube is because everybody else is on YouTube. That's why I'm there. It is the marketplace of ideas. And like I said, you have all the false doctrine people on one side, and all the fake news people and all the liars on one side. And a few of us on the other side who are telling the truth. Now, it's entirely possible what Google wants, who owns YouTube, is to just eliminate those of us on our side of the street who are giving away the free hot dogs. No charge whatsoever. We don't ask for money. We don't beg for money. If you want to give, that's fine, but we don't do it. And so YouTube, I do believe, would like to quiet the fundamentalist Christian voices in this world. Of that, I have no doubt. So anyway, this second video, I didn't put up all of those illustrations that I did on the first video. Recorded down in Harrison, Arkansas, but I just put up a list of things that the internet lied about. Their artificial intelligence machine saw what was written up on the screen, flagged it, and YouTube shut it down. Took the video down completely. You can't find it. And I'm just, man, I'm hot under the collar on this thing. I want to get back on YouTube. And with me, you know that it's not about monetization, because you can actually get away with more on YouTube if you decide not to monetize your videos. Let me give you an example. Pastor Sam Cotavaticanti was here with us during the Sunday school hour, and he had prepared a video showing the orphanage and the children that he wants to work with and so on. And he was playing some sort of music in the background. I really wasn't paying attention to the music. But YouTube flagged when my daughter, Lindsay, uploaded the Sunday school hour of him yesterday. YouTube flagged the video. And I'm going, what, they flag him because he's from India? No. It's that along with the presentation that Pastor Sam mentioned, he played a little video showing the children that he's trying to help, and he had some soft music playing in the background. Well, YouTube said, oh, that's copyrighted music. Now, we're not going to do anything to your channel. It's not going to be no marks, but we're going to have to put ads next to your video to pay for the use of the song. So when YouTube started getting real picky, I quit using copyrighted music. I quit capturing copyrighted clips off TV shows and different things like that. I quit doing that. And some of you will say, yeah, it's because you're a coward, man. You're a coward. You cow down to them. You bow down to the New World Order. Let me explain something to you. What my biggest responsibility is that supersedes anything else in this world, my number one priority is to plainly present the gospel of Jesus Christ, period. YouTube is the place to do that in. Because every sinner in the world who has access to a computer, a phone, or a tablet, or whatever, through the internet, can watch a YouTube video. And it may just be that I could bring the gospel to this person's life for the very first time, and they would be saved as a result of it. And I've had people mad at me because I won't speak on this issue. I won't talk on this issue. Oh, you're a shill for the Illuminati. That's what you are. No. It is because I recognize that the most important thing that I could do on any presentation that I do is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And not regurgitate right-wing fake news. That's my responsibility. is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to show men how to avoid hellfire and to live in God's heavenly kingdom forever. So here is the, when I found out that they pulled the video, because what I did was I put it up on the screen, you know, like 20 things the internet lied about, Y2K, the year 2000, where half the computers around the world were going to shut down. It was going to create chaos all over the world and rioting in the streets and so on. The internet lied about that. Internet lied about 2012, that it's going to be the end of the world as we know it. And it wasn't. But it had everybody scared that it was. The Obamacare bill, where everybody's supposed to get a microchip implant by March 2011, never happened. And then I wrote on there, COVID is not a real virus. And I went, yeah, it is. I had it. And it was unlike any sickness I've ever had my entire life. So I the point in that was, I was telling the people, you get up in the morning and the first thing you do is check your Facebook feed or your emails. And it's usually somebody who's shared a story to get you to read it. You read it, then you shared the story. And it spreads just like a virus. That's how it works. So anyway, when I put that graphic up on the screen, you can still watch it on Sermon Audio. They haven't taken it down, thank God. They gave me a, YouTube has given me a chance to do a rebuttal. And here's what I wrote them. Once again, your AI is wrong. At the 14-minute, 23-second point in this video, I expose things the internet lied about, and the phrase, COVID is not a real virus, is one of those things, along with the COVID vaccine is the mark of the beast. If you listen to my statements, I'm telling that these statements are false. Not true. I am not in any way, shape, or form violating your policies about COVID. I am warning people to not believe false statements about COVID. Please actually listen to my statements this time and restore this video and remove the mark against my channel. I follow your rules. This is the second time your AI was wrong about my videos. Now, I dare you to try to find the call center for YouTube where you can call them and say, hey, I got a problem with my video. I don't know how to call them. Honestly, how do you call Facebook? How do you call YouTube? They don't seem to have a phone number you can call that I'm aware of. I'm sure there is. But they don't put it out there anywhere. So anyway, I'm just a little put out this morning. They put out, they struck the video. So I'm going to wait for the appeal. And if they throw it out again after the 7 days, I'm going to chop that part of the video out and re-upload it and see what happens. But if you want to watch that and you haven't seen it, then go back to go to sermonaudio.com/Bethel, and you should be able to see it there, because they haven't censored me yet. All right. A few things happening in the world. These were sent to me by way of email. And if I've had several emails sent to me, and if I, once I pull up the article and I don't think that what they're saying is true, then I probably wouldn't be reading it. But this I kind of believe. In fact, let me do this. Let me put, if I can find it. Let me put, there was, this is about the Vatican, I think. No, is that it? Oh, come on. Mute. There we go. I don't think that one's it either. Here we go. Let me put that up on the screen here for you. There, I found it. Vatican hosting. Let me scroll up here. Vatican hosting Fauci, Chelsea, Clinton, Pfizer CEO, big tech oligarchs at health conference. Vaccine developers, Mormon elders. Joe, the Mormons don't have a problem with, when the Da Vinci Code came out, the Mormons didn't have a problem with Jesus having a wife named Mary Magdalene. They didn't have a problem with it. Imagine that. I guess it goes back to the days where the Mormons had multiple wives. Well, of course he had a wife, and he can have more than one. Vaccine developers, Mormon elders, pro-abort, Chelsea Clinton, population control advocate, Jane Goodall, a New Age activist, a prominent UK Muslim scholar, and a pro-abort American actress are all speakers at an upcoming Vatican conference on health. There are only two Catholic clergy listed among the 114 speakers. Notice the logo or the graphic for that. It's based upon what's in the Sistine Chapel, where God is touching Adam and giving him life. Of course, he's got to wear gloves in case, you know, God might be, you know, COVID positive or whatever. Fifth International Vatican Conference, exploring the mind, body, and soul, unite to prevent and unite to cure, global health care initiative. The Vatican has announced its fifth international conference on exploring the mind, body, and soul, and will host scores of globalist abortion-promoting speakers such as Chelsea Clinton, the CEOs of abortion-tainted vaccine companies Pfizer and Moderna, the director of the U.S. National Institutes of Health, and Dr. Anthony Fauci, who, of course, we know is one of the most brilliant minds in the world. Well, maybe not that quite smart. The conference entitled Exploring the Mind, Body, and Soul, How Innovation and Novel Delivery Systems Improve Human Health is due to take place May 6th through 8th. And it says an incredible 114 speakers. That's probably, there'll probably be more speakers there than there will be attendees, are set to appear at the event, which is hosted by the Pontifical Council for Culture, the Cura Foundation, the Science and Faith Foundation, and STEM for Life. The speakers include prominent diverse names such as the CEOs of Pfizer and Moderna, the former of which produces abortion pills, the director of National Institute of Health, Francis Collins, who advocates using fetal tissue in research projects. I don't. We don't need them. We don't need them. They can draw stem cells from the umbilical cord of a mother right after a child is born. They can draw stem cells from that. They do not need aborted fetal cells. The head of Google Health, David Feinberg, Dr. Anthony Fauci, from the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, whose advice to government officials played a major role in shutting down American churches last year. NIH Director Francis Collins has a long history of anti-life policies and has previously acclaimed the scientific benefits which come from fetal tissue research, claiming that such work could be conducted with an ethical framework. I doubt it. He's joined the Vatican Conference by Salesforce CEO Mark Benioff, who has firmly aligned himself with the globalist liberal elite by banning emails from the Republicans and the Trump campaign in the wake of January 6th Capitol protest, as well as prohibiting all clients from even questioning the 2020 U.S. election. Now that's censorship. Benioff has a history of promoting LGBTQ RSVP issues and is described by Time as one of the most outspoken executive for LGBTQ RSVP RESPECT affairs. Also speaking at the conference will be UN reps and conservationist Jane Goodall, who supports population control, newage activist Deepak Chopra, rock guitarist Joe Perry, Mormon elder William K. Jackson, executive chair of the British Board of Scholars and Imams, Shock Dr. Asim Yusuf, pro-abortion model Cindy Crawford, and disgraced ex-prefect of the Secretariat for Communication, Monsignor Dario Vigano. Numerous other medical professionals, representatives of U.S. federal agencies, university lecturers, high-ranking company officials, and musicians also formed the number of speakers. There are only two Catholic clergy listed among the 114 speakers taking place within the Vatican City. The event is being promoted with social media messaging of unite to prevent and unite to cure. And I want you to think about that issue of uniting. The idea of unity. I mean, it's something that I guess would be okay, be something be nice to have. As long as everybody agreed to the same thing and all the things were right. And see, in heaven, we'll be united together. There's not going to be the Baptist section of heaven, the Pentecostal section of heaven. There's not going to be anything like that. All will be one in Christ, and that's all well and good. But to try to join everybody together right now as one man is going to create a disaster. It will be along the lines of the four kingdoms that Daniel saw. The head of gold, the chest of silver, the legs, thighs of brass, the feet of iron, the toes of part iron, part clay. And yes, it looks like that they're joined together. But remember, one of them is strong, one of them is weak. They say that the test of a chain or the strength of a chain is its weakest link. Because if the weakest link of the chain breaks, doesn't matter how strong the rest of the chain is. The weak link of the chain is gone now. Let's see here. It's getting about that time. I'm going to have to turn the air up again. We're supposed to get, believe it or not, we're supposed to get a wet, sloppy snow tomorrow in the St. Louis area. Are you kidding me? Absolutely crazy what's going on in this world. All right, here's another story. This one. It's never going to stop, I don't think, not until the Lord comes. The team of American and Chinese scientists announces human-monkey hybrids have been created. A team of U.S. and Chinese scientists have produced a series of human-monkey hybrid embryos in a study released Thursday that is raising critical bioethical questions about its experiments and their implications. Now, we need some Bible in here. We can't have a PMO without the Word of God. So let's see what could be even potentially wrong with that. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. I'll tell you what I'll do. Type in the phrase, their kind. Spell it right. Genesis 1:21. God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. And every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was so, that it was good. Verse 25, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. After their own kind. You see, if you remember from, maybe let's say late elementary school, early middle school, or junior high school, the taxonomy that mankind has separated things out into their various forms. Starts out with kingdom. It could either be the plant or the animal kingdom. Kingdom, I remember this. Phylum, class, order, family, genus, and species. Seven of them. Isn't that amazing? That God divided all of the creatures of the earth, anywhere in the earth, he narrowed them down to these seven ways of differentiating between the creatures. So let's say you have two animals of the same kingdom. They're of the animal kingdom, but they are of a kingdom, phylum, class, order, family. Is it possible to crossbreed, let's say squirrels and mice are related somehow? I don't know if it's kingdom, phylum, class, order, family. Maybe family, I don't know. But is it possible to mate an American gray squirrel with a rat? No. Not possible. God said, don't do it. Don't let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. God told, and you don't have to tell me this. I don't need a law for this one. God told the Israelites, I better not catch you lying with beasts as you lie with people. I better not see that. If I do, I'm going to have you taken out and stoned. Okay? So after their kind and so on. Now we have monkeys who, even though they're in the animal kingdom, this is the kingdom. They're in the same phylum. They're in the same class. Kingdom, phylum, class. They're in the same order. They might be in the same family, which would be like hominids. But humans and monkeys cannot procreate. Can't do. And believe me, I'm sure it's been tried for the last 6,000 years. I'm sure of it. But they can't produce offspring. The genetics will never line up and match. Never. So, what man says God didn't do, man's going to do. Team of U.S. and Chinese scientists have produced a series of human-monkey hybrid embryos in a study released Thursday that is raising critical bioethical questions about its experiments and their implications. And the study, funded by the National Natural Science Foundation of China and published in the... See, this is a Chinese front company, Chinese Communist government front company. Scientists took six-day-old macaque monkey embryos and injected 25 human cells into each of them. The type of human cells used are extended pluripotent stem cells, which can help develop both embryonic and extra-embryonic tissues, according to a Cell news release. Cell must be like a trade magazine for monkeys, I guess. On the day following the injections, human cells were found alive in 132 of the hybrid embryos. 10 days later, 103 of them were still alive and growing. However, survival rates started dropping to the point that by day 19, only three of them were alive. The embryos that did survive, however, had a high percentage of human cells in their mix. The researchers conducted this. So what's happened is the human part took over in these embryos. In other words, they mixed chimpanzee and human DNA, and they made an embryo, and they allowed it to grow. And they noted that after a while, a lot of the cells were dying. Only the cells where the human genetic traits were dominant did they get to live. Now, stuff like this, I'll be honest with you, it makes me sick. This is grotesquery at its worst, people. You have now what will turn out to be, if they allow this embryo, and listen, when a scientist figures out that he can actually grow an embryo that consists of human and chimpanzee DNA, does he stop there and say, well, that answers a lot of questions for us? No, he doesn't stop there. He keeps going. He keeps pushing the idea that we can create new species of animals. He's never content until the whole world's blown up like Sodom and Gomorrah. The researchers conducted this study as part of an effort to discover new methods of creating organs for those in need of transplants. See, it's all about helping us people. We people must need helped. We must live longer and enjoy the blessings of life. What they're doing is, at best, they're extending their chances of meeting the inevitability. Did I say that right? In other words, they are going to stand before the judgment seat of God. It doesn't matter how long they live to do it. They're going to stand before the judgment seat of Almighty God, and He is either going to put them in heaven or cast them into the lake of fire, and that's all there is to it. Period. This is one of the major problems in medicine, organ transplantation. Juan Carlos is Bisua Belamonte, one of the study's co-authors, told NPR, the demand for that is much higher than the supply. Despite the supposedly altruistic goal of the researchers, the study raised important questions concerning its ethics. My first question is why? Kirsten Matthews of Rice University's Baker Institute told NPR, I think the public is going to be concerned, and I am as well, that we're just kind of pushing toward forward with science without having a proper conversation about what we should or should not do. And I'm right with you, sister. Should it be regulated as human because it has significant proportion of human cells in it? And see, that's the question. Is, let's say this embryo ended up placed into a woman's womb, grown, and given birth. Does this creature now that has the mixture of chimpanzee and humanity in it, can it be held responsible for any crimes that it does? I mean, you think about it. Let's say that, oh, I don't know, God forbid, a dog down the street, you know, was coming to your house, stealing food out of your house. Well, you can't call the cops and arrest the dog, have a trial for him and convict him and put him in prison. You can't do that. He doesn't have rights. A dog doesn't have rights. Monkeys don't have rights. Camels don't have rights. Goldfish don't have rights in this country. And what's amazing to me is that we have people in this country who actually want to give animals the same or better rights than humans have. That's just sick, as far as I'm concerned. But it raises all kinds of questions that we've never had to answer before. So what if a child is born in the United States of America, and let's say that 95% of his DNA is human, but 5% of his DNA is chimpanzee? What is he then? And then you have to stop and think about the nature of our Constitution. The nature of our Constitution was written at a time when they could not even fathom the mingling of two different species into one new species. Especially when one of the species that it was mingled into was a human one. They never fathomed that in their mind. Ever. The laws that we wrote, you know, our forefathers, our ancestors in this country wrote some 200 some odd years ago, did not take into account genetic manipulation. And what if a human being is born in the confines of the United States, but he happens to have a somewhat significant portion of animal DNA in his system? Can he become a citizen of the United States of America? We don't apply citizenship to dogs, cats, rats, goldfish, deer. We don't apply citizenship to any of those creatures. So what if somebody comes in and they says, well, I'm 95% human, but I'm 5% chimpanzee. Do we let them in? Because if you do, they're going to just be sitting around picking lice out of everybody's hair, and that's going to kind of gross. Kirsten Matthews of Rice University's Baker Institute said, my first question is why? I think the public is going to be concerned, and I am as well, that we're just kind of pushing forward with science without having a proper conversation about what we should do or should not do. The most significant concern scientists who spoke with the outlet had is somebody pushing the study further by creating a baby out of such hybrid embryos. Some worry that the human cells could become part of the product creature's brain, raising new concerns on legislating on issues surrounding the resulting being. Will they have the rights that we have as humans? And I would say never. Never, 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 never. Now, you understand where all of this is leading. Daniel chapter 2, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. That's exactly where it's headed, what's coming. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. And then what then is that going to do for all the people in the world who are no longer people? They're part human, part alien, if you want to use that word. They're a hybrid. Nonetheless, they're a hybrid. Now, speaking of alien, several things happened last week. And very, very, very interesting things happening. And let me see if I can put this video up on the screen. Hang on here. Evernote, trusty Evernote. Let me put that up here. Here we go. Yep. All right, let me read this and then I'll show you the picture. The International Space Station camera is capturing huge 400-foot triangular UFO soaring behind SpaceX craft. The mysterious object was spotted hurling past SpaceX Dragon capsule not far from the International Space Station. UFO fan Mr. MBB333 estimated that it could be up to 400 feet wide. The truth seeker known as Mr. MBB333, I subscribe to his channel, I haven't watched it in a while, shared the ISS footage online and pointed out the illuminating object traveling past the spacecraft. The clip shared by one of his followers in early April, the ISS camera is aimed in the direction of where Crew Dragon Resilience capsule is locking or docking in space. There's a picture of it there. The YouTuber says you can see an obvious bright light moving in an opposite direction. I zoom in on it. I slow it down. I don't alter it in any way other than trying to pull it forward for some possible features on this craft, and it does look like a triangular craft. The mysterious sight was spotted on ISS cameras. The apparent UFO is seen scrambling past at a steady pace in the dark from right to left on the camera. When the uploader zooms in, the triangular craft appears to have some circles on the corners. I was hoping there was a video link on here, and I'd play the video. Is there? Maybe that's his website here. Let me see what comes up.
Does look like.
Yeah, there it is. Tell you what, let me back up here. See if we can find it.
Rock also going up to
not there. Hang on a second, let me put this up on the screen here for you, and I'll just play a relevant portion of his video while I'm reading this. The YouTuber believes the circular part of the craft could be lights. Here I zoom in. The craft goes behind the field of view and actually disappears right there behind the Dragon. Isn't that interesting that they called the SpaceX's spaceship that goes to the ISS the Dragon? That's a bomb, bomb, bomb! Mr. BBB333 believed it has circular lighting features on the front. The light appears to be rotating in sequence, but they all appear to be illuminating at the same time. But the grainy footage does not do justice to show the exact features he mentioned. Mr. BB333 said the craft is moving at a good speed. If I had to guess, that it was based on what we see here, probably 200, 300, or 400 feet wide. There it is, right there. Traveling in the background behind the International Space Station. Bada boom, bada bing. Then it goes behind the Dragon capsule, so you can't see it. Usually that's about the time NASA cuts the feed, I have found. They just cut the feed and say, there you go, you don't need to see any more of that. Let's see here. I think that's about it for that. And the Chinese monkeys, human monkeys, and so on. He's going to enhance the video. He's going to reverse it, kind of emphasize some of it. It has lights on all three corners. Now, there have been sightings of UFOs that have a very, very similar shape. And I think that the shape of this is called the TR-3B, I think is what it is. I'm not exactly sure why, but it's called the TR-3B, I believe. TR-3B, yes, that's the UFO for me. There was another video that came out over the weekend, and I don't know why I don't see it. There's a series of lights that showed up outside of Oklahoma, or in Oklahoma. It's possible that that's the Starlink satellite train. Some of you have seen it. My son called me one night and said, Dad, I'm standing out here looking at, looks like hundreds of UFOs in a straight line going across the sky. And I thought, I think that might be Elon Musk's Starlink UFO thing. So anyway, all right. Now, let's change keys just a little bit here. Let me get rid of that. Get rid of that. And let's talk about... I asked concerning UFOs, I asked a pastor friend of mine. His son is in the military, and I will not say what branch of the military he's in. I will not say where he's stationed. But this pastor told me, he went to visit his son, and his son asked his dad, who is a pastor, he asked him this strange question. He said, Dad, do you believe in UFOs? And he said, why do you ask? And, of course, you know, he's got, you know, he made a promise not to divulge certain things that go on. It's, you know, what happens at military bases is very sensitive information. All he was able to say was, Dad, I've seen things that would absolutely blow your mind. It's the pastor's son. And I believe him. I believe him. I've talked to several people. I've seen a lot of things in this world, and I absolutely believe it. I believe that this world, I could say UFOs, I could say aliens, I could say evil angels, I could say devils, I could say familiar spirits, unclean spirits, angels that have fallen, angels that have been kicked out of heaven, I could say all of those things. And be right in that if I say these things are going to invade this world and take it over, God is going to let them do it. He's going to let them do it. Period. to manifest evil in its purest form. Now, I've mentioned this several times before. I want to put, let me put this verse up on the screen. Let me put the screen on the screen. There we go. Ephesians chapter 6. I've referenced this so many times, but let me give you a little bit different spin on it. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Then he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We don't see it as much in America, because America seems to be, I guess, a modern society, a scientific or technological based society built upon reason and rationality rather than faith here lately. So we don't see a lot of weird, strange things happening that actually are happening in other places of the world. It doesn't mean that when we read our Bibles and we see stories about devils and things like that, that, well, that's the Old Testament and that's, you know, New Testament 2,000 years ago, and it's really not that way anymore. But I had the question in my mind yesterday that I thought was a relative question. When you read all through the Old Testament, you read about the personage of Baal. Baal literally is his name. It's not Baal one word. It's sort of a jamming together of two words. Baal. Al is, of course, the Sumerian Aramaic version of El, as in Elohim. So Baal is like a form of Allah, the God of the Muslims. You follow me on that? And my point is this: you read about Baal all through the Old Testament. And to my knowledge, let me type this in. I don't think that you find the name Baal in the New Testament anywhere. Am I right? One time. I was close. But all the rest of the times, you find Baal mentioned primarily in the Old Testament, along with Chemosh, Nergal, Ashtaroth. What are some of the other gods that they had in the Old Testament they worshiped? Moloch, which basically the Hebrew word Moloch or Malach basically means like an angelic king, a spirit. We don't see a lot of manifestations of spirits in this country, but we know that they must be there. We know that they just don't go away. And even though you only see Baal one time in the New Testament, and the rest of the times, Baal's name, either by itself or as part of another word like Baalim or Baal Peor, places like that, the city of Baal, I don't think Baal is dead. I don't think he is. I don't think Baal disappeared. I don't think that he was cast into the pit. I don't know that. But I don't think he's gone. I think he's still around. Now, it's sort of the I won't say it's exactly the same way with the word Satan, but a majority, if I remember right, type in the word Satan should be 55 times. Look, there it is. And I would say a majority of those times, 55 times, now we're at 36 times, yes, is in the New Testament of the Bible. And so it's possible that Baal might be a representation of Satan in the Old Testament, all right? But truly, even though we don't have Baal mentioned but once in the New Testament, and at that, it's a reference to the historical Baal, Romans 11:4, this is the faith of Elijah, but what saith the answer of God unto him? I reserved myself, that's Romans 11, yeah. I reserved myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. So he's referencing him as a historic god. The question is, was he a real god? I do believe he was. Not the most high god, but he was a little g god. All right? And I don't think that Baal has gone away. I don't think he's left. I don't think he's hiding out somewhere. I think he's still around. And all you need to do is study all 63 occurrences, or if you want to have some real fun, do this. Now you get 130. That's 13 times 10. Now you got a little study to do, but study Baal, because Baal is a spirit. Baal is a god, a pretty evil, nasty one. Let's see here. That's what I want. So, let me do this right here. As it pertains to spirits, and I... when I was in Harrison, Arkansas, I worked on this thinking that I was going to do this presentation down in Arkansas. And God said, no, you're not. I said, okay, I'm not. But what am I going to do? And he began to fill it into me what I was going to do. But just a study of the different spirits, devils. Some call them demons. I don't climb out of my skin at that word demons. The word demon or daemon itself carries with it the idea of an intelligent being, and I do believe they are. God said of Satan, thou art wiser than Daniel. So they do possess a certain intelligence of some kind. But God said this in Genesis 9, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. Then he says in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Notice in Genesis 9, He says concerning these beasts, there's four groups of them: beast of the earth, fowl of the air, all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Now, where do devils reside? Number one, on the earth, some of them. Number two, we know that God called Satan the prince of the power of the air. And I think it's possible that the power of the air represents all of the devil underlings that he has at his command. If he says to a group of devils, I want you to go over there and do this and do this and do this, then I believe they go do it. Because I think Lucifer is a very powerful angel to those. And yet he's going to be cast down just like the rest of them, just like many people on this earth are going to be cast down into the sides of the pit. So upon every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air and all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. 1, 2, 3, 4. So what is he saying here in Genesis 9? He's sort of, again, he's sort of giving a proto-gospel. A prefiguring, a shadowy prophetic gospel. That because of God's covenant with mankind, I'm going to make all of the beasts very afraid of you. I'm going to make them run when you come. My dad tried to teach me. I think I picked up on it some in some ways. Tried to teach me as I'm walking through the woods to be quiet doing it. Now, if the leaves are dry, and you know, when deer season comes around, then it's hard to do that. But when they're wet, you can sneak up on them well. Okay? So here is our Father teaching us about these creatures because they are afraid of us and how that we have to wrestle against them, how we have to do warfare against them. Because if not, we'll be destroyed by them. Walk silently through the woods. Be quiet if you're going to be fishing along the shoreline. The catfish will always know there's somebody there. And I didn't believe my dad when he said it, but later I found out that it's true. They can sense things that are happening around them. They can tell. So everything that you learn about the physical realm around us, you always apply that to the spiritual realm. Because I think in some ways that's how it is. So these beasts, these devils, who I believe have a beast nature about them. I believe there are many of them, at least, well, one third of them are evil. And they have an evil nature about them and a beast nature about them. And I mentioned in the message that YouTube took down, I hope you got a chance to watch it. If not, it's on sermonaudio.com/Bethel. Let's see here. Where is that on this little... All this stuff I got around up here. Not sure I can find it. Anyway, but sermonaudio.com/Bethel, and you should find the video called Degeneration. Because they didn't take it down. They left it up there, all right? Anyway, where was I going with all this? We're fighting against spirits every day, and they have a beast nature, which means they cannot be reasoned with. Once you learn their nature and their habits, there's ways then to avoid them and ways to defeat them, to kill them off. And God, in various days, does give us that kind of power, I believe, to make them leave us alone because they're not getting anywhere with us. That's for true. Now, they may try to kill you after that, but you got to remember, your life is always in God's hand. Always. And it's never different. So let's look at a little angelology here, 101. Sons of God, children of the Most High, Job 38:7. That's how these angels are named. They're called sons of God and children of the Most High. And that would apply to both good and bad angels. And remember, we learned from this story of Micaiah, who was the preacher to tell Ahab and Jehoshaphat, look, let me tell you what I saw. God said, God showed me that he had all of the heavenly hosts around him on his right hand and on his left. Now, when he said that, I immediately thought of Christ separating the sheep from the goats. The sheep was on his right hand, the goats was on his left hand. And I don't think it was an accident that all the goats went to hell and all the sheep went to heaven. So I think the good angels were on God's right hand. I think the bad angels were on God's left hand. That's just personal opinion of mine, but that's what I think. So we have the good angels. We have Michael. Michael the, bless his heart. We had a lady that follows our ministry. She lives in the area, but it's difficult for her to get to church. So she came Sunday night and... I talked to them after the service, and she has a son. She's a single mom, and her son's name was Michael. And I said, my name's Michael. I said, do you know what that means? It means, who is like unto God? And he went, that's interesting. And then his mother said, wow, that's pretty cool, because, you know, Lucifer in Isaiah 14 says, I will be like the Most High. And yet, Michael's name means ain't nobody like the Most High. Somebody say amen. I'm Michael. And I'm here to tell you, it's like what Lloyd Benson did to George Bush's vice president. What was his name? During the debate. Lloyd Benson says, I knew Jack Kennedy. Son, you're no Jack Kennedy. And everybody just erupted. That was a good line. But anyway, it's like, Lucifer says, I will be like the Most High God. And Michael says, excuse me, angel, my name is like, nobody's like God. Now, if you want heaven, you're going to have to go through me to get it. And Michael and his angels prevailed against Satan and his angels in that war. So we have good angels, Michael. We have Gabriel, who Michael seems to be a warrior king. He is the prince of the people of Israel. We have Gabriel, who everything that we see from Gabriel is that he is a messenger. The truest definition of the word angel in the Bible, it literally means messenger. The word evangelist is a Greek word, euangelion, and it has the word angel in it. Angelist. And even in the Greek, it's euangelion. And it has the word angelion in it, which is the Greek word for messenger. So an evangelist is an angel in the fact that he is transmitting. He's not coming up with his own stuff, his own words, his own sermons, his own preaching. He is simply giving you the word of God. We have the two angels that I put Sodom angels, and you're going, well, that ain't right. The two angels that accompanied our Lord Jesus before he is incarnated through Eve. Jesus comes because God himself does not make trips walking around the earth. The earth would probably die at the sight of his glory. So Jesus is there as the Lord, and Adam has access to the Lord every day. And it's got a big garden. It's full of everything he could ever want. God would have even given him a blender if he wanted one. Take all this fruit and just Put it all together and blend it together. You'll like that. But he blew it because of his sin. We have an evil angel now introducing sin into the world. But anyway, the two angels that accompanied the Lord to go see Abram. Is it Abram? Yeah, it's Abraham by now. And they eat, which you got to think about it. They say, well, angels are spirits. Yeah. But can they not also appear in this earth as men in every way, shape, and form? We know that they ate the bread. We know that they ate the calf with the butter. We know that they ate what was presented to them by Sarah. They were well fed. And then they went to the town of Sodom in Genesis 19 to deliver the news to Lot, saying, we've been sent here to destroy this city. God wants to bring you out. Now you need to hasten because we cannot. We have to destroy this city, but we can't destroy it as long as you're here. God won't let us. Boy, I like that. I like that. God won't let us destroy the city while you're in here. So Lot, typical. I mean, he is vexed with Sodom. Part of him doesn't want to leave. With Lot's wife, all of her didn't want to leave. She's the one who turned around and became a pillar of salt right in front of their eyes. So those two Sodom angels, they had the appearance of men. And of course, you know that the men, both old and young, came and wanted to molest those two angels. That's how depraved they were. By the way, how do you make young Sodomites? Turn old Sodomites loose on them. That's how it's done. It doesn't happen. It doesn't have to be that way. But I would say 9 times out of 10, that's what's been done. An old Sodomite went after them. And that's all they know. So we have the Sodom angels. We have all through the Old Testament, the angels of the Lord in many cases. In many cases, and I'm not sure that I can say 100% every occurrence of or the appearance of the angel of the Lord was Christ, but in many occasions you have him as Christ. We have the angel at the tomb. His face was as lightning, the Bible says. And he's the one who said, he is not here, for he is risen. And then the Bible tells us to entertain angels or strangers unawares. Now, keep that in mind. Let me do a little circling of this. The Bible says, be not careful to entertain strangers, for thou might be entertaining angels unawares. Now let's do this. Let's type in the word alien. Asterisk. And here's what we're going to find. We're going to find that the Bible, it only uses the word alien or aliens 16 times in the Bible. But we're going to find out that it links it to another word in several places. Look at Exodus 18. And her two sons, of which the name of one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land. Now, what does that mean? I mean, it means exactly what we think it means. The first time I went to Kenya, man, it was different. It was way different than anything I had ever experienced in my life. And I found myself quoting the verse. This verse, I am an alien or a stranger in a strange land. I don't know your customs. I offended a pastor and his wife greatly because I preached all day for this pastor. And he was a great man. I loved him. I did. I preached all day for this pastor. He had a conference of other pastors and believers in the area. And I was tired. That was the last of the preaching that I was going to do. And I was just wore out from the stress, the devils that were on me and everything like that. And he invited me over for dinner. And my son-in-law, Michael, knew how tired I was. And he told him, he said, you know, pastor's, he's just wore out. So that pastor went home and told his wife, and his wife had prepared this huge meal. And so they finally came by the hotel, and he said, my wife is home crying. Can he at least come by for a few minutes? And I told Michael, I said, yeah, I'll go over there. And I had just eaten at the hotel. So I went over there to their house. And lo and behold, after we prayed, she gave a little speech and she said, I want you to know you saved my life. And I'm going, what? And it's because I had violated, I guess, their tradition. If you get invited over to someone's house, that's a big honor not to be turned down. And I didn't know that. I was an alien in a strange land. But the two words are interchangeable, alien and strange or stranger. Here we go. Job 19:15. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I'm an alien. You see it? So if you're going to study things in the Bible pertaining to, and I'll put some notes together for Thursday, about these Department of Defense leaked videos recently, 2019, was it? One of the American destroyers being followed by three triangular shaped craft, and it was captured on video, and the video got leaked out of the Pentagon. I think it was done on purpose. But folks, this stuff's coming. And I'm convinced of it from the Bible. And if I wasn't convinced of it from the Bible, I would say, people don't pay attention to that stuff. That's garbage. But I'm telling you, that's what's coming. Psalm 69:8, I've become a stranger unto my mother's brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. That's what it's connected with. So you study alien, you study stranger, strange, strangers, any form of the word strange. Isaiah 61:5, and the strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Lamentations 5, our inheritance is turned to strangers, our houses to aliens. Let's see here. Ezekiel 23:18, so she discovered her whoredoms and discovered her nakedness when my mind was alienated from her, like as my mind was alienated from her sister. Let's see here. Here we go. Here's a good one. Ephesians 2:12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. At one time, we were natives of this world, but aliens to heaven. But now, by the blood of Jesus Christ, we now are native to heaven and aliens and strangers to this world. Somebody say amen. So that, watch this now. Just as, I mean, I offended that woman by not accepting her invitation for me to come to dinner. That was, I mean, these people didn't have money. They spent probably whatever they had on this food. for the man of God. And finally, I realized that. I said, Michael, don't worry about it. I'll go. Now, those of us who are born again, here's what should be happening in your life. You should be looking at this world saying, this world is strange to me now. This is not normal. This is not right. It can't be right. I don't belong here in this world. My mom and two of her friends from her church, they took a little mini vacation out at Lake of the Ozarks, which is in central Missouri. House right on the lakefront. So they decided to go to a local church one Sunday morning. They walked in there. Of course, it was one of them coffee shop churches where the whole room is black except the stage. It's a theater, basically. Well, they're going to put on a show. And the music started, and they were just standing there, and they noticed people coming in, you know, with their coffee and everything else. And there was just something in that place that drove them out. They looked at each other and they said, we're not supposed to be here. And they went, you know, I've been feeling the same way. Y'all want to go? Yeah, let's go. And they left. They left. Do you know why? The spirit that was in that place amongst those people hated God's Holy Spirit in those three ladies, hated them. And I believe the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit wanted them there, he would have emboldened them and said, you know what? If they don't want us here, that's fine, but I'm going to stay here anyway. And I might just correct the man while he's preaching, tell him, hey, why don't you get a King James? You know, God could have done that. But those devils, that other spirit, worked on them and pressured them and pulled, and finally they just left. They said, we'd be better off not going to church anywhere than go to church here. They were strangers and aliens in a strange place. Colossians 1:21, and that you were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Ooh, I like this one. Hebrews 11:34. Look at this one. This is the Faith Hall of Fame. What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah and David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, waxed violent, valiant in faith, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Now, I don't think that word there is an accident. I don't. I think it's there for a reason. Because truly, the Bible is establishing for us the fact that God's end times army, the army that cannot be conquered, is not of this world. They are strangers. They are aliens to this world. Hence, they are from another place, but not here. No way, no how. So strangers, unawares. Now here's some more good angels. God's chariots. The chariots of the Lord are 20,000, even thousands of angels. Notice they're also called children of the Most High. The cherubim, found in Ezekiel 1. Those are the ones that had four faces facing the four different directions. They had the body of a man. So the word there is humanoid. They were humanoid or human-ish type creatures. And by the way, they didn't have a free will. These angels, God gave mankind something that he did not give any of the angels, including Lucifer and all of his lying familiar spirits. God did not give any, and God created them all. And he did not give them what he gave us. He did not give them the ability to choose. That ought to make you feel like God actually does care about you. If God gave you the ability to choose where you're going to spend eternity, choose what you're going to believe. God gave you that as a gift. But these angels, these cherubim like in Ezekiel 1, that they don't move until God wants them to move. They're like horses. Okay? They are like horses. And they don't move until God says move. They have no choice of their own. Whereas God gave us the ability to choose between life and death, right and wrong. And in some cases, we get that truth nearly every day. We have the seraphim in Isaiah chapter 6. They have, these cherubim in Ezekiel 1 have four wings. The cherubim or the seraphim in Genesis 6 or Isaiah 6 have, how many wings? Six wings, I believe, covering their bodies. We have the trumpet angels, the vial angels. We have the two-thirds of the angels that are siding with Michael, the chief prince of the people of Israel. We have the charge angels. I like this. I was trying to remember what I was thinking when I wrote that. The charge angels. Well, Pastor, I don't know what that means. Well, I'm fixing to show you. Psalm. Let's see here. Psalm chapter. Now, there's another word for this that a lot of people use. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence, and he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid nor for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. So some people have used that to say guardian angels. And I don't jump out of my skin over that and rent my clothes and say, blasphemy! I don't do that. But he gives these angels the authority and the power to stand a watch over us. Have you ever had your life saved? Have you ever been in a near-miss auto accident? I have. You ever been to the point, literally, of death? I have. It's a kind of a scary thing. Well, I believe that God has given his angels charge over us. And they protect us from a lot of things daily that would destroy us. They protect them. It's their job. It's what they do. So that's why I call them charge angels. Then you can call them or reference them as the saints in heaven. When we have been resurrected to be with Christ for eternity, Jesus himself said, you shall be as the angels in heaven. Now, he was making a point, you know, that for they're neither married nor are given in marriage. Well, that's the you know, the bad angels that do that, not the good ones. Now, the saints in heaven will be us, because one third of the angelic company is going to be kicked out of heaven. Who's going to live in their place?
We will.
We will. And I'm looking forward to that. But then we have the other ones. The Bible calls them evil angels, Satan, devils. There are possessing devils, devils that will enter into the physical bodies of human beings, take them over, brain and all. Think of the man of the Gadarenes, who every time they tried to chain him up, he went, snap, and broke the chains and fetters that they put on him. I mean, this guy was bad. But he had, if we take the word legion and apply that literally, what are we at, 12,000 devils that he was possessed with? Bare minimum? 12,000 evil spirits inside this man. Whew, that's wicked. We have tempting spirits. Spirits that always try to, you know, we say, well, the devil tempted me. And I guess in a roundabout way he did. He is the head of all of the evil angels. And if he's got special assignments, he may send a devil or two out to do them. Okay. But they have standing orders to do certain things wherever they can do them. So while you may not have been tempted by the devil himself, you were tempted by a devil. We have seducing spirits. Think about that. Just as, let's say you had a woman, like a waitress or something like that, and she's been eyeballing you the whole time you're sitting down to eat dinner. She comes over and fills out your check and puts a little heart on there with a little arrow through it, and she's putting her hand on your shoulder. She's making moves. She's, you know, playing with you a little bit. Well, you know, we're men, right? You watch out for that. She's a seducer. She is a seducer. And she means to pull you away and take you for her own. And there are seducing spirits out there that would steal you away in a heartbeat if God would let them. And they're going to keep it up too. They're going to keep seducing you worse and worse and worse until you can't stand it anymore. We have devils that write doctrine, and they all work in Bible college. We have the gods, little g, which I guess could be applied to all of the angels. Gods in that they live in the heavenly realm. They are immortal. They have powers beyond ours. They can do things that we can't even fathom how they did it. So both good and bad, I would say, would be the gods. The Bible uses the term evil angels. And I would say also evil chariots go along with that. Remember, the chariots of the Lord are 20,000, even thousands of angels. And, you know, what's been remarkable to me over the years is the, you know, reading the idea that as they studied these so-called crashed UFOs, they found out that the aliens did not control them with, you know, pushing buttons and typing, using a mouse on a computer screen and typing in instructions, you know, or pressing a keypad of some kind like Star Trek. They just laid their hands on this panel board and whatever they thought, that's what the ship did. Are we getting there? Remember in Ezekiel 1 where is, you know, Ezekiel sees the chariot of the Lord and he has the four cherubs where the wheels are? You remember that story? And they had the ability to put their spirit into the wheels so that the wheels now become a living entity. And the fact that the chariot itself was a living creature. Man, you have unclean spirits. Have you ever noticed that people who are heavy into drugs never take the time to clean their house, clean their children up, clean themselves up? You ever notice that? It may be, and I'm not saying an absolute, but it may be the byproduct of unclean spirits. Familiar spirits, spirits that are familiar with you and your life and things that you have said, done, seen, people you know, people you don't know, things like that. And he's got a good memory. And they will pose as those people once they've died. They will come forth, be summoned forth, and appear as the person that you know. And you say, well, I asked the psychic this. She rolled her eyes back in her head and said a few words. And then all of a sudden she said, there's missing money, isn't there? Why, yes, there is. Well, he used to have this special place behind the shed. And he used to hide all the money there. So you go there and look, but lo and behold, there it is. And you're going like, oh my goodness, she talked to my uncle. No, she didn't. She talked to your uncle's familiar spirit. Your uncle's familiar spirit was with him when he planted the money. Evil angels. I got to move on. One third of the fighting angels. We have the pit locust in Genesis or Revelation 9. And then we have beasts of many-fold appearances. And I'm going to close with this today, but think of it. The number of animals that are in the world today, the number of, let's see here, the number of creatures and the different types of species that there are. I believe that there's that many or more. As far as the angelic realm, they don't all look alike. They're not all naked babies flying around with bows and arrows in their hands. I don't believe that. I believe that they can take on many different appearances, changing their countenance, as it were. Get into some more of this Thursday if the Lord tarries his coming, which I kind of hope he doesn't. Maybe he can come today, tonight, tomorrow. That would be fine with me. You're the reason I do what what we do here at Bethel. Pray for Michael and the work in Kenya. Pray for Pastor Lordson Rock in India, Pastor Samuel Kodavatakanti. I just enjoyed my time with him. Good man of the Lord. You pray for his ministry. Pray for me. And pray that YouTube puts my video back up, will you? All right, I appreciate it. God bless you.